Hey, it's a golf show. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee, a couple of golf guys here. As we promised, we pop in intermittently throughout the summer. Here we are getting ready for our lovely National Open, the RBC Canadian Open later this week. Sammy, how's it going, bud?
I'm doing really well. Weather starting to become better in the province of Ontario. We've had a very shaky May in terms of forecast. Lots of empty golf courses on certain days this month, but the weather here today is perfect. Keeping an eye on the forecast for this weekend at the RBC Canadian Open at TPC. They want me to call it TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley, right? That's what they want me to call it. So
that's what they want.
That's right. So it's looking like there could be a bit of rain, but there's lots of sun, lots of temperatures. I'm really excited. As you know very well, this is one of our favorite weeks of the year. We get to go hobnob, pretend that we are, you know, a real golf journalist, and we hang out amongst the real ones while they all look at us and work hard and we just stroll around. So it's going to be a great week, Gunner. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, just quickly on that, there's nothing better than strolling into the media center and seeing just my brethren there staring at computers and like, oh, let me rework this sentence. I don't like the lead. And you and I are like, ah, can't wait to shoot the breeze about this.
What's
tomorrow
for lunch?
On the show. Guys, no one wants to chat. What's going on? So, yeah, I can't wait. My favorite. We love a new course on tour, right? Like, not new to us. For once, it's like not a new course on tour that we haven't experienced. But if we were just watching week in, week out, we go, a new one. Let's see what's up. So it'll be curious to see how a course that we've, you know, we've been lucky to play it before. We've played it kind of since they got it in tip-top shape. And now we'll get to see how it looks when Nance and Co. are broadcasting it on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's going to be really interesting. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but I quickly stopped in at Lambton Golf Club today to check out the U.S. Open qualifier, you know, the longest day in golf, I believe it's called. And it's, you know, I've played that. I've been lucky enough to play Lambton probably five or six times in the last couple years. And there is something very, very cool about having a course where professionals are playing a tournament that you are extremely familiar with. Like, of course, I know, you know, I've been around St. George's a couple times. Like, I have a vague idea of what Hamilton looks like. Same with Oakdale. But when it comes to the North course at TPC Toronto, I bet you I've played that course in my life like 15, 20 times. Like, I've played it a ton, and I have a really good, really strong memory of all the holes and where I usually hit and all that stuff. So it's going to be very cool to see how much further these guys are hitting it by spots. Like, today at Lambton, I saw a guy, I'm like, they can hit that from there, eh? That's allowed to go that far? Wow, I didn't think that was allowed. So that part of it's going to be really cool to just have a gauge of how much worse at golf you are than these guys when they're blasting at 150 yards past where you would usually be.
Oh, God, and they're, like, we're so much worse. They're
so
good.
So much worse. They are
these
very
guys are
good
so...
at this.
Yeah, that was the tagline, right? These guys are good?
Why
yeah,
did they get rid of that? That was an excellent tagline.
Yeah, it really was, and it feels like they got rid of it before the guys turned really good. Like,
yeah,
think about like
really
our
good.
Like our boy Ludvig Åberg. It's like he would have been an alien dropped upon Earth during the era of that ad. Okay, speaking of aliens dropped upon Earth, we got to talk about the chef here, Scottie Scheffler. Oh, it's like we could have done this golf podcast anytime in the calendar. And she's like, hey, talk about another Scottie win. You and I love a little cross sports stats. So let me hit you with this one to explain or maybe explain how bad the Colorado Rockies are. The Colorado Rockies and Scottie Scheffler have both won three times since May 2nd. They have done it in Major League Baseball games, and he has done it in golf tournaments, including a major and an elevated event. It is nuts, nuts, nuts what this guy has been doing.
Yeah, it's very, very, it's, you know, now we can officially say it's very Tiger-like. Mm-hmm. And I saw a clip, I don't know, on one of the various social medias that I spend too much time on, but it was a clip of him, you know, after certain golf tournaments. It was sort of like a montage of him going out to where all the kids are and signing autographs.
Yep.
And spending time with kids and just, you know, being around them all. And the point of why I bring that up is because one of the comments on it, which are sometimes more entertaining than the actual video themselves, the top comment on it was that this is their Tiger Woods. And it's like, yeah, like you don't think of it that way because Tiger Woods is our Tiger Woods. But if you're what age we were when Tiger started, this is what you felt like about a guy. the most dominant guy who is winning every single week. He seems completely unflappable. Even if he's a few strokes back on Saturday or a few strokes back on Sunday, he's never out of it. And he just never seems fazed by anything. And that's a lot of what you used to feel out about with Tiger, right? Like, I understand Tiger a bit more explosive, a little bit more exciting at times, you know, a little bit more exciting off the course, I would imagine, in terms of their personalities. But what Scotty's doing right now, and I bristled at comparisons in the past couple years, but now when they throw up the first to 16 wins, it's only Tiger and Snead and all this different stuff, it truly is Tiger-esque, and you really got to look ahead to the U.S. Open and the Open and be like, he has a real chance to win, to get the Grand Slam this year, right? Like, he is in that conversation at this very moment.
Yeah, how can you in your right mind, as a golf-observing human, say, no, what are you talking about? Scottie Scheffler has no chance to win this week. That'd be the most absurd take humanly possible. You mentioned the thing about the kids. That's their Tiger. Like, I'm living it, man. I got a golf-obsessed four-year-old in my house. And every time Scheffler pops on TV,
there
goes,
go.
Hey, that's my guy. Like, it's right there. And then I see the thing about Scheffler, and in terms of, yeah, he's not as exciting, but that's the Scheffler of it all. It's not exciting. It's just easy. Everyone's going to melt away around him. He'll hit some incredible shots here or there, but that's not the Scheffler experience. The Scheffler experience is he's going to erode you like water erodes a rock. Like, there's no big blow. It's just he's going to last longer. Get into a playoff with that guy. Good luck waiting for him to make the mistake. Everything about him is just so unfazed. Like, even his wife, like, hands the baby to him after he wins the tournament.
Baby?
She's like, he's got poop all down his back, by the way. He's like, yep, who cares? It's a kid. Like, just everything about this guy is so calm, cool, and collected. And the thing that jumps out about it to me, you know me, I love to play our game of how many majors every time a guy wins one of these. And I am always the king of poo-pooing it. Like, these runs are fleeting. You know, it rarely lasts like this. We're in the second year of the run like this. It's no longer fleeting. Rory is the only other guy I've seen come close to this stratosphere, but there felt like there were more valleys in there. And maybe it's just he lived it longer and we'll wait to see it. But yeah, the idea that I am not bristling at Tiger comparisons, and it's not that he's Tiger going forward now, it's just that he is the standard of the game and there's nobody even close to it now.
Okay, now we've talked about the good stuff, okay? Now, this is a conversation that I was thinking to myself yesterday, and I don't want this to take away from the hot stretch that Ben Griffin has had over the last little while, him and his Aviators. But this has been an incredible, dominating run over the past few seasons for Scottie Scheffler. And you know me, you used to call me Larry Live.
Yep.
Is there any part of you that is a little bit, you don't take away from this, but these fields, are they diluted in your mind? Is that part of the conversation when it comes to his dominance, or are there enough good players on the PGA Tour where you don't think about that as much? Because yesterday was the first time where I really thought about it, being like, this is his third win in four starts. This is really ridiculous. Look who he's going up against here. You know, God love our Nick Taylor, you know, Straka. You know, you have, like I said, Ben Griffin in the final pairing. Like, there's players out there, I understand, but it doesn't feel like the waves of dominant players that it has in years past.
No, and I think it's a totally fair thing. I think it's a totally fair thing to bring up. But the thing I always, like, at pushback, and I don't know, maybe I'm forgetting about guys that I shouldn't be, but are we really just talking about Bryson and Rahm not being there? And Koepka, I guess.
Koepka, I guess, yeah. I guess you're
right. Like, it's, yeah. Phil Mickelson is not changing this every week. What's my boy? Taylor Gooch is not changing things every week. Like, it's
Neiman.
Not an asterisk.
Neiman.
There are players of ilk, but I think that that's where it is a fair thing to talk to, because in any one of these weeks, pick a guy. Bryson, Neiman, Koepka, Rahm, one of those guys bucks their head, and it's a different conversation. But guess what? Those guys are all allowed to buck their head at the Masters every year.
No,
when
you're
he
right.
Wins it.
And
they're
the
all
PGA
allowed
Championship.
To buck their head at the PGA Championship, and he still wins it. So I think that is the repellent to what is, honestly, like, I think it's a fair take to have. But I also think that when you're this consistent, it becomes almost not about who else is there. like Scottie Scheffler's not beating Ben Griffin. He's beating golf every week, it feels like. And it's a fair question to ask about, like, does one of those guys change the equation? Because that's the mental game of it all, right? Is it's one thing when it's Mito Pereira who's got a lead, and it's like, don't worry, he'll do the thing at the PGA Championship. He'll do it. It's a little different when it's Neiman or Koepka, or even honestly, like, you know, probably too old in the tooth now, but like a Dustin Johnson, just somebody who's done it, somebody with some cachet. It makes you think differently. But I also think he's insulated himself, that I honestly don't know if Arnold Palmer coming down from heaven that he doesn't feel like he still has the ability to do that. That's the thing about Scheffler. He just has so many wins now that it feels impossible for the scar tissue to still be there.
That's fair. And I just, I really, really enjoy watching it too, because I think it's such a, the swing is really palatable. It's very cool to watch. He can work the ball both ways. Just the putting, the short putting has seemed to be really improved now. He's gone to the claw grip, and it's like, okay, so you're not going to even let him have like the short misses anymore, because you miss. Remember last year, Gunnar, when it was like, oh my God, he can't putt. And it's like, oh, another win, another win, another win. Now it just feels like all the short putts are dropping. Like, what was his number inside 10 feet this week? It was ridiculous. So he goes to another win. But like, if you're going to give him the short putting stuff too, then that's when you start thinking about an all-time season here. And that's when you really start thinking about him knocking off the Grand Slam at age whatever he's at now, 28. Like, I think he gets one more. Probably getting two more majors is a lot to ask. And, you know, who knows about the Open? You never can predict the weather. You never can predict that one. It feels like the most unpredictable one. But, like, at Oakmont, him, the way he's looking, it just feels like, I'm looking at the book right now. I think he's plus 275 right now, and you'd be kind of stupid not to put a little bit of money on that, quite frankly. So this is just an all-time run we're experiencing. But I don't know with Scotty if it's really, like, crossing over. And does golf care if it's crossing over? But, like, I don't think that he has the, even, I don't know, is Rahm crossover? I guess it's Spieth that kind of crosses over. Rory's the crossover guy. I'm not sure if Scheffler's there yet, but maybe once he starts chasing bigger numbers or whatever, that's what we'll get. But it's been an incredible run for golf fans, and you really hope it starts to cross over into, like, the real sports fam lexicon.
Yeah, I don't think golf cares as much anymore. I think part of it is they understand the guy that he is. Like, I think golf, whether you want to say tricked itself or was on the right track, but like, oh, Rory, there's something there. Like, there is a personality that people like glom onto one way or another. It's like you bristle at it, you like it. I think with Scheffler, golf's made its peace, because it's like, we know what's there. There's not that magic. He wasn't Jordan Spieth doing this at 21 years old, and he's just touched by God at Augusta. It's not the same way. I think it crosses over if he rips off the career Grand Slam sometime soon, and it's, wait a minute, I thought Rory just did this. Isn't this supposed to be special? And then we get to do the, yeah, it really is special. But I just think the personality blocks the crossover, and honestly, like, I'm fine with that. I don't need Scottie Scheffler to play in the NBA celebrity game at the All-Star weekend, even though he would be a problem out there. Like, get my PGA Tour team out there. Gary Woodland, Scottie Scheffler, I don't know, Ludvig Åberg, what can he do? And find two other shooters. I don't know. But like, I think that's the problem with Scheffler. And it's not, for me, a problem, but that's the reason why I don't even think we're having this conversation.
Absolutely. And I guess we're not going to see him this weekend, clearly, at RBC Canadian Open, but we will see him the following week at Oakmont. And boy, I've watched a few videos of that place, and I've seen some of the like creator guys do videos from that place. It looks unbelievable. And those big square greens, like, that's a real treat venue that I'm really looking forward to seeing. So can't wait for that major. Always love the US Open. It's an exciting one. So we'll get ready for that one. But I wanted to ask you,
Hold on. On Oakmont, there is the great piece of golf content out there that someone must do. It's like, the greatest version of this is to find the spin doctor and get it in Sidney Crosby's hands and have him recreate the shot. But honestly, you're telling me you wouldn't live for Johnson Wagner to just be like, hey, guys, this is the spin doctor. It's a legendary story. Watch me hit this drive, but with a wedge. Like, please, man. They shove him anywhere and everywhere. They had him whipping balls at a hill last year.
Oh, yeah.
please give it to me. So just golf, free golf content idea to anyone out there. All you need to find is the mythical Spin Doctor wedge.
I love it. Get Sid out there. Sid will be, I mean, he'd happy to be doing it. I mean, I don't know. He's probably too busy training right now.
Way too busy training.
He's on like a golf course, not a golf course, on like a sheet of ice somewhere where he's training the next generation of youth. So yes, he probably can't do it. But if he's not, get the Spin Doctor out there.
Yes. That was it. Okay. Other one. Last one on Scheffler as well. Hilarious. After his round on Saturday, he was back at the range grinding, and a guy watching him is like, "Scotty, those look dialed. Save some of those for tomorrow." to which Ted Scott, his caddy, could not quickly get in. Like, hey, that's a rule for like me. That's a rule for you. He's a little different.
He's got a lot of them.
I love that.
He's got a lot of those. He doesn't need to save any. He's got tons to hand out. Lots to go around.
Unlimited good ones. All right, yeah. Ben Griffin. Mm. He led six consecutive rounds on the PGA Tour, including a wire-to-wire win. Doing it all well. I think my favorite description of him is a mortgage officer that is an absolute stick. Just ask him.
Yes.
Wearing those aviator shades. He just looks incredible out there. It is not like golfers. They look different. I've not seen that one. I've seen every other kind. I've seen Pat Perez. I've seen Jason Day. I've seen Scottie Scheffler. I've seen curly hair Rory McIlroy. I haven't seen that in a professional, that aesthetic. So just good on you for your play, but also good on you for giving me a little something different, Ben Griffin.
Yeah, the aviators, I heard him talking about them. I don't know what day, when it was, if it was between rounds or maybe after Friday, but apparently he had some vision stuff, and he was bringing up the word floater, which, you know, there's different uses for that word, but he was talking about his vision. So not sure what that means, but apparently they help out with the floaters in his eyes. So that's what he was talking about. But I know you'll love this, Gunner. Ben Griffin, very good on TikTok. Like, he'll be like, come to this tournament with me, and like his prep and like him going to the locker and showing what he gets in the locker, and like kind of, he's very, very good on TikTok. So when you get TikTok this week, Gunner, I know you will, you can add Ben Griffin onto it, and you can get to enjoy it, because I've been aware of him for a little while because of that reason. And it's nice to see him playing so well. And yeah, keep the aviator look going. You look like a guy I got paired up with at Lakeview last week. So yeah, keep it going.
I get all my TikToks as God intended for a 35-year-old father 7 weeks later.
Yes.
On Instagram. That is exactly as I want them. And like, hey man, just like when he puts them on an app for adults, I can't wait to see it. So good for Ben Griffin there. All right. I will not set this up any other way, just to say we're very, very happy to have Rory McIlroy at the RBC Canadian Open, of course. Are you excited to hear him answer questions about his driver that he didn't want to answer at the PGA Championship?
I don't know. I like to needle you about this, but I don't really.
It's not fun when I do the M&M thing, when I'm like, and Rory McIlroy didn't answer questions about his driver. You're like, yeah.
I don't
more
think
fun if you get to poke fun.
I don't think it's. I think it's a little weird that did his cheater driver win him the Masters? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to go that far, but I think it is a little weird that he decided not to talk to the media for a long extended time after that. And I'm sure everybody's waiting with bated breath to hear what he has to say. But, you know, I think the other side of this too, Bud, is, as you know well, this man's done a lot of talking. He's talked a lot. He has talked mucho over the past 4 years. And I understand the, you know, when you have your boy Kyle Porter turning on him, it's like, holy crap, when Kyle Porter's saying bad things about Rory, you better get out there in front of the media, because I don't think he's ever said a bad thing about him. But I would like him to speak. I would like him to be his eloquent self, but I don't think he's going to be like, yeah, the driver. Like, what do you think he's going to say? I just don't know what he's going to say about it.
I honestly think it's like the first, I actually bet he just like gets out of Main Street with him. And when he's sitting up there with like the PGA Tour rep, I wouldn't be shocked if it's like part of an opening salvo. He's like, oh, by the way, after da da da, just to like cut it off. And then it's like, okay, there's the question that's been answered. And then you can move on to let, you know, all of our wonderful media brethren ask whatever other questions they have for him that don't.
What do
that.
You love so much about coming to Canada, Rory? Yeah. Don't you love Canada?
And he does.
Yes.
He does. Oh, man. I still have memories of his first Canadian Open win, the Raptors jersey. Oh,
but he was also taking a bit of a beating before the Memorial, too, right? Because he didn't...
For not calling Jack?
Yeah. What do you think about that? Probably should have called him, right? Or does he have to call him? Like, do you have to call Jack? I don't know.
Does Jack call Rory when they're, like, two-way street, in my opinion? Like, Jack, look, like, legend of the game, the greatest golfer of all time, will forever have the greatest resume, should be respected for sure. But I don't think Rory McIlroy has to run his schedule by Jack. It's like, part of it is the history of the game, right? You always hear these stories about, like, Arnold Palmer and handwritten notes, and there is an element to that that Rory has always felt like a steward of.
For sure.
It's just a little surprising to me. But do I particularly care whether or not he went and kissed the ring to tell him he couldn't play? No, I don't care a lick. It's just a little odd for a guy who always has kind of leaned into those parts of his kind of like golfing MO. Honestly.
Yeah, and I don't know who it was that was kind of grilling Jack on it at his press conference, but, you know, Jack in typical Jack fashion was pretty humble about it and didn't really say a ton. Like, he was just like, yeah, you know, these guys have busy schedules, blah, blah, blah. Like, I understand or whatever. I wonder in the back of his mind if he had a little bit of resentment towards him. He is the Masters champion, like coming to Memorial the first year after that. There's all these different things. But I also love getting Jack in the broadcast booth. And I don't know if you were watching when Ben Griffin hit his eagle putt. I don't know which hole that was. I guess it would have been 15 or 16 that he hit the eagle putt on. And Nance is like, oh, Jack, which way do you think this goes? And it's like a really slow creeping putt. And as it was going, he's like, I think it goes a little left. Oh, it goes right. Oh, it goes left. Oh, and then it ends up dropping in the hole. It was an excellent broadcast moment, and I love having him there. They're talking about that beautiful par three, and he's like, and of course, this is one of the greatest par threes designed by you. And Jack's like, ah, it's just kind of in the hill there, and there's a river. And he's like, it presented itself. I didn't do much. I'm like, oh, my God, Jack. Just take some credit, man. Take some credit.
Okay, quickly. We're doing Jack stories. I got two quick ones. Forever, one of my favorite moments will be him after Tiger won the 2019 Masters. And they go, Jack Nicklaus, who's bone fishing in the Bahamas, has sent in this note. And I'm like, incredible. Exactly where he should be. And then forever, when he opened Mirrorfield Village and Johnny Miller tried to hit a wedge off of the literal first day they were unveiling these greens, because it's like a multi-tiered, like, seven breaker.
Yeah.
And Jack goes, why? You just, oh, Chip.
Oh, yeah, that's just the greatest video of all time.
Just hit a good putt. And he doesn't think about it. Basically hits it like he hits probably hits it as hard as he hits the drive at the Masters now. Hammers it, and it breaks 17 directions. Bang, right in the hole. Some guys are just magic, man.
There was like a 100-footer, that video.
That's truly
one of the most amazing videos ever, because he takes no time. And I don't know who it was the caddy, ran over and pulls the pin. And if he hadn't pulled the pin, it wouldn't have gone on. It like hits the back and skips up and goes back down. I love that video. But yeah, I really do love the Memorial. And, you know, in the monotony of a golf season when it's not the majors and not the big ones, there are some that go by the wayside, but Memorial is always one that I get really excited for. It's a beautifully designed course. Lots of risk reward. The water always sneaks up on guys. It's just, it's a really fun tournament. Now, that was Scotty's, he defended his title there. Did you see that Tiger defended on the tour 23 different times?
It was absurd. I actually 23
different times is insane.
I somehow had missed that one, and Ben had the great pleasure of giving that to me on the air this morning. And my favorite Tiger stat, I'll say it over and over again, is every time I think I've heard them all, Justin Ray comes creeping out from the woods, and he's like, hey, I got one. Hey, you want some candy? Come over here. And I just go running right into the woods.
I
know. need the Tiger. All right, we're really excited. Got to talk to the new tournament director for the RBC Canadian Open. We'll do that on the other side of the Golf Show. Very, very happy to be joined by the tournament director for the RBC Canadian Open, Ryan Paul. Ryan, thanks so much for jumping on. We'll just we'll get right into it here. New gig, but not new gig. How has the year as tournament director been cheating you here?
Oh, it's been fabulous, and you know, the team that we have here at Golf Canada and RBC have just been phenomenal and welcoming into the new gig. We're ready for a great week ahead.
So looking at the week ahead there. So before I jump completely into the tournament, I do just want to talk about the changes from going from, of course, running a very successful women's championship for Golf Canada, and now switching over to the men's side of things. Like, what are just the changes of that? Is it scope? Is it scale? What do you think the kind of lessons you're able to take from your previous role into this one?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's been a common one that I've been asked this week, and I think the short answer of it is with both of our national opens, RBC Canadian Open and CPKC Women's Open, we treat them the same in how we operate, from the volunteer experience, the player experience, what fans can do on site, and kind of everything in between. So really the changeover isn't that drastic, and it's really just a bit of a bigger scope for, you know, more structures and hospitality and people on site that we've had. So that's been more of a seamless change. All of our partners are basically national partners, so they're with us for both tournaments. And yeah, from my team, even with the professional championships, there's 10 of us, and we all have a hand in both opens, like I have with the RBC Canadian Open the last 10 years here.
So Ryan, a lot of new here, like you said, it's your first year doing on the men's side, and we're going to a brand new course at TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. What are you most interested in seeing these players tackle at the North Course there? Because I think we're all really interested to see how it's going to hold up with these pros who never really see it. What are you most interested in?
Yeah, I think it's just that it's how they're going to play it. And, you know, I'll tip my hat to all the folks at TPC Toronto. They've worked tirelessly to make this course pop and get it to the state that them and the PGA Tour staff wanted it to get to. But I think it's going to be such a fun venue to spectate and to watch and have these players play, that there are some holes that are long and challenging, and the rough is very penal, and the wind just howls here. It seems even on a calm day, it's blowing you across the fairway. So I can't wait to see that. But then you've got these scoring opportunities where, if you're the fan that wants to see the excitement, and you go to the rink hole, it's playing at 144 yards in a very, probably our most attackable rink that we've ever had. And 18 is got that risk reward opportunity where if you can catch over top of those bunkers on your tee shot, you got a great chance to go over the water and, you know, try to get out of there with a three. But if you mess up, you're probably looking at a six or a seven. So I think it's going to be such a fun one to watch.
Do you care? I'm not asking you. Well, I know you care about many great things. Sorry, weird way to start a question. Do you care what the final score is of this tournament? I've had a lot of conversations with people going, oh man, these guys are going to eat it up. I have always been of the opinion that, like, look, there is obviously a line of demarcation at anything, but I'm not, if I'm going, I will be going. I'd like to see some eagles. Do you have a window in mind, or like our dream finish, our dream winning score would be X, or do you not particularly care about that? We do hear about this kind of on both sides of the ledger from different tournament directors.
It's always a question. And I know sometimes when you're at a member course, that one gets brought up as well, because members are so proud of their properties. Not to say that that's not a topic of discussion here, but I guess to answer your question, I don't. And I would treat it this way: is what I would love to have happen is Nick Taylor moment, the 72-foot putt, a Tiger, you know, bunker shot is replicated where they're going 200 yards over a water, or Jason Day's putt in 2015, like those moments that then that's how you remember the RBC Canadian Open. And the question that I have been asking, and, you know, sometimes people get it right, but it's like, what did Rory McIlroy shoot to win in 2019? What did he shoot in 2022? What was Tiger's winning score back in 2000? I was around for all of them. I don't even know the answer, because, like, that's the way we started. I don't care. I just want it to be a great event for everyone around, the fans, the volunteers, the spectators, the players. And yeah, I think it's just, if we can get that iconic moment, that's how the 2025 RBC Canadian Open is remembered. That's my goal.
It's so funny you say that, because I was going to be like, what did Nick Taylor shoot? I have no idea. Like, I just, all I remember
is... He shot a 72-foot putt in the hole, yeah, is what he did. That's all that happened.
All I remember is standing greenside and hearing the roar of the... That sounded like it was like the bat flip. It was so loud. So, you mentioned all the great people at TPC there, and, you know, all the tireless work that goes into making this tournament possible. Forecast this weekend, going to be a bit of rain overnight, it seems like, a couple of the nights. You guys all good with that, like, in terms of being ready for that and handling it?
Yeah, from contingency planning and being ready to handle it, we are we're fully there and ready to go. We're watching it. It does dance from day to day, so
yeah.
Not ready to panic just quite yet. But no, it's going to be great. And if we can have that rain pass over us or hit us overnight, then I think that'd be the dream scenario.
Look, Ryan, you're talking to two golfers here, but everybody listening, we're all golfers. We get it. You check the forecast, you hope, and if it's a good forecast, you go, perfect. It's a good forecast, and if not, you go, still got time. Eh, we know
never rains on the golf course.
Honestly, never. I've never seen it happen once. We're right on the same page there. You've talked about TPC and the partnership. Obviously, Golf Canada has forged with TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. And, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves with tournament announcements. And you obviously do like to move the tournament around from place to place. But what does it mean to have some place that is kind of home? Like the Golf Canada Hall of Fame is there now. Obviously, the build-out, this isn't going to be a one-year thing. What does it mean to have that partnership with the folks at TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley?
Yeah, it means so much, and it's going to be so successful for this tournament. And I think it even means that much more when you've got the staff and executive team in place that TPC Toronto has with Chris Humanek and everyone down, that they are just such wonderful partners. And I always go back to, when I first got the gig and we were walking around the course of the PGA Tour and just looking at different things that we could do to the golf course to add some challenge or some excitement, or even just viewing for spectators. And they're always willing to listen and put in their opinion, but then they do have the tournament's interest in mind, where it's not just we're going to host the event for the year and then we're back to regular business. So to have a partner that we have in TPC Toronto that sees the long-term opportunities and growth with this event is amazing.
So last one for me, Ryan, I appreciate the time. Where do you think is going to be your favorite place? Or if you're telling somebody that's coming to the Open over the 4 days, where do you think would be the best place to post up and watch? Like, what do you think is the best spot on property? Like, I know the rink hole is going to be fantastic. It always is. But if there's a sneaky spot that you were going to tell people, where would you be sending them?
All right, I love that question. I was ready to give that stock answer of the rink, but if you want a sneaky second one, we have a tee deck that's in the middle of the property, and it's one large tee deck that is going to be the tee deck for the second hole, the ninth hole, and the 18th.
So wow.
If you're looking to post up in one spot, and if you love drives and just watching players bomb it, it's a driver for all three of those holes. You're going to see everyone come through twice, three times, however long you're going to be standing there. But I think that's such a cool thing that the PGA Tour did with the setup, is have one tee deck that serves for three holes.
That's cool.
That is that's really awesome. And if you love watching drives, like, you're allowed to watch like watching other parts of the game, but like, I've never seen someone go, oh, they're just gonna rip drive, no point in watching. No, I think that's a great spot, Ryan. Okay, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, like father, like son, I mean, what's it like to have this role? I can only imagine, memories you would have had, growing up. Your father, held this role as well. What does it mean to you to carry it on in the family lineage? Like, I know the Golf Canada family, but what about the Paul family? What's this mean for you, man?
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think just even the few days that we've been here and having players and agents and all the PGA Tour staff arriving and just them sharing stories about what it was like when dad was running things has been cool. Now have this role, and it kind of takes you back to being a young kid and getting out of school for the weekend in September to ride around in the cart with them and meet players back then and do tournament director things is kind of cool to think about it all back then. And now being in that role is, it's great.
That is, that's awesome. I may be sneaking a kindergartner out of school on Wednesday to bring them
love
to the Open. So might be happening, Ryan.
And Ryan,
no promises on his involvement in the future, but he'll be loving watching.
You'd be happy to know that not my voice, but the other voice, Brent, he made a birdie on the rink hole the last time we played there together. So you might want to open up a spot for him to get into the tournament this weekend. So,
well, we got this year we got some new VIP seats that are right on the tee deck.
Oh, yeah.
Look like hockey seats. So we will have one dedicated to you when you're here.
Yes, Connor.
Lock it in. That's been locked in. Confirm. Ryan, I could chat about this tournament all day. I could chat about that property all day. I am not buttering you up when I say this. It is, without a shadow of a doubt, one of my favorite weeks of the year. Oh, yeah. I'm so happy it's here. And, man, good luck to you guys. Not that you need any of it.
Thanks, bud.
Well, thank you very much.
There he goes, tournament director Ryan Paul with the RBC Canadian Open. All right, so we are going to get a chance to watch a lot of great golfers at that. I cannot wait. I'm not sure how much I'll make it out, but again, like I said, it is absolutely one of my favorite weeks of the
Thursday,
year.
Thursday, Sunday, I will be going.
Okay, I will see you maybe Sunday. T-ball practice. They need their skip on Thursday, so I can't be there.
Kids,
I'm going Wednesday,
kids,
potentially Wednesday, Friday, Sunday for your boy.
Love
Friday,
that.
TBD weather, but it never rains on the golf course, no. So I'm sure I'll be there. You couldn't wait though. You had to go see elite golfers this morning before recording this pod.
I listen, I'm just such an intrepid journalist. I had to go to Lambton Golf Club to observe some of the longest day in golf, U.S. Open qualifying. Really cool, man. Really, really cool. Me and my buddy Hughes, we arrived there about 7:30 a.m. And literally, like, I looked at the tee times. I was like, oh, Nicolai Højgaard's teeing off here. And we went out with Nicolai with Højgaard from the first hole. And I watched him all the way to nine. And then I had to start heading back to the exit. Because I was coming in to do this and do my real job on Real Kipper and Born. But, buddy, watching a guy like that, who is a good tour player, just play on a course that you think is so hard and just go birdie, birdie, birdie to start it and make it look like it's the easiest thing in the world. And listen, you get access at the Canadian Open and you get to see up close and personal, but you're surrounded by a lot of people. It's a big event. There's lots of crowds, obviously. It's what makes it great. But it was me, my buddy, and two other guys walking around watching this guy play. Like, coming off the first green, he walked by me. I was like, great three, bud. He's like, thanks, man. It was like I was out there playing with them. It was really, really cool. Got to see Svensson hit a couple shots. I saw Luke Clanton, who is apparently an up-and-comer, winning a bunch of amateur events. That's at least what the guy that was scoring their group told me. So maybe he lied to me, but he had a huge crew around him, this Luke kid. Like, it looked like when, you know, Nick Taylor was making the turn with all the Golf Canada entourage inside the ropes at the Canadian Open. That's kind of what it looked like with Luke. So it was very cool to see. And just watching Højgaard hit the ball up close, he hits it so hard, and I was standing literally right beside the tee box, like closer than I should have been. You know, like when we go to the Canadian Open and you have like your like a bit of decorum where you're not. I was just standing right beside him, like I was in the group, basically.
You're trying to ice him out in match play. You're standing so close.
I couldn't. Yeah. He was hitting the ball so hard, Gunnar. I couldn't pick it up off the club. Like, he was hitting it so far. It's amazing to see them hit it up that close. So Højgaard actually was leading the way after the first round. They had to play again this afternoon, but I think he shot a 64 this morning. So he was red hot. So it was really cool. It was just a really cool event, and people were excited. And like, you know, just that feeling when you walk in somewhere and you know guys are competing and it's tense and it's exciting. It was a beautiful morning. I really, really enjoyed it. So you got to get out to that one year, buddy. You really do.
No, I it's an absolute must. I remember one year Padre Harrington was like trying to qualify, and it was at Rattlesnake Point, and it was like I was just sitting there thinking about it, and it's like, ah, I should have gone. I definitely on the list one of these years.
There's some great names at this tournament, like Højgaard, like I said, and then Adam Svensson was there, Harry Hall, Victor Perez, Thorbjørn Oil. Can you say it for me, Gunnar?
Thorbjørn Olesen.
Great job. Henrik Norlander's there. Like, it's just Harry Higgs. It's just
Emiliano Grillo.
Saw Camilo Villegas go through with his collar popped the most aggressively I've ever seen it pop. According to sources on the course, a.k.a. our good buddy Eric Prime, saw him throw a club. So he was going full. Oh, yeah. It was
collar was popped like he was ordering a Jager bomb in 03. Yeah.
It was just a very, very exciting morning. And I wish I could have stayed. I would have stayed all day. I think, you just get to see the guys play at a really cool golf course. And that's Lambton is one of the most gorgeous courses in the city. It's spectacular. So it's really cool. And I'll tell you right now, Højgaard, a fan for life. I will always keep an eye on him. I'll always be around him because I played with him. I was basically in his group, and I told him great three, and he said thanks a lot. So we're basically best buds now. So I'm now a fan.
It is nuts how those little moments can just lock you in on a guy kind of forever, right?
Yes.
It's like not exactly the same thing, but it's like I remember like Ludvig Åberg. It was like a second event. I just followed him around for the day. The Canadian Open. So, yeah, you get to have these moments. I will say, though, that it does not get more better golf hipster than that. Just going to U.S. Open final qualifying. I love that we have an event here. I know it's because the event's here.
And yeah, like, makes
helps.
Sense.
Like, it really helps. But I absolutely love that there's a Canadian qualifier. And hey, man, like, lots of Canadians in the mix there. Go have an afternoon, Jimmy Jones,
yes.
who is three shots back of Nikolai Højgaard and Mark Hubbard. So, Jimmy Jones and Chris Olago, go for it, boys. Let's go.
I love it. And yeah, it was just really cool. And also, Gunnar, last thing before we go, don't know how often you're playing. I'm playing a lot. I've played 12 rounds this year, including 11 at Lakeview. I'm just basically a soft member at Lakeview. Everybody knows me there. I just go in there, you know, hi, Sammy. How are you guys? Hey, guys. How's things going? First time for everything, I hold out from a bunker at Lakeview, greenside for an eagle, one of the thrills of my life. And then a guy that I play golf with, works with the PGA Tour of Canada, Brandon Stazowicz, a.k.a. Stazman, a.k.a. Staz Life. We had the worst high five of all time. Borderline Tiger, Scott, Stevie, borderline Yao Ming family, borderline Connor McDavid getting held hostage by those two, that older couple. It was the worst high five of all time and borderline ruined the moment, but it was a pretty exciting moment to get a three there at Lakeview. But yeah, I don't think you need to hear it from me anymore, but God, that course is fantastic. And I see you've been playing lots of golf with young Gordo.
Yeah, disagree on your high five ruining the moment. Yes. It just adds to it. That's so golf it hurts. So yes. I actually wish there was like, I wish I could just have a still image of your guys like wrist
or
something like that. How good it would be. And yeah, my golf these days is pretty much limited to like 3/4 nine irons at the par three course that I go to.
You're gonna be dialed.
Project Earl is in is in full swing. We not to brag, we did have a real life double bogey from white tees.
And
wow. Top five. So
how
here we
old
go.
Is Giddy. He?
He's not five yet.
That'll oh, my November. God. He is Earl. I mean, no, he is Tiger. You are Earl.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully with less, like, mental anguish and needing to go train with the Navy SEALs and yada, yada, the rest of all that. Hopefully, you know, maybe a little rosier picture going forward. But, I mean, majors are majors.
Yeah.
All right. We'll leave it there. If you do see us this week, come say hi. We love it. We love talking to the people. And if you don't see us, go enjoy it regardless. It is an awesome week at the RBC Canadian Open. The guys are going to light up TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley, and that's okay with me. Sammy, always fun. We'll do another one at the conclusion of our wonderful National Open.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next week.